is accession number 12213, real 3.
Captain Gatehouse, real 3.
The salvage ship was lying bows on to me at anchor. I waited for a considerable time, and I remember bright moonlight, in the hope that she would swing and present me with a more a larger target, but unfortunately it was absolutely dead calm and she never moved. So before withdrawing, I fired a torpedo at her in the hopes that it would hit her, but because she was bows on to me, it missed. So I quickly fired another torpedo at the German coaster that was ashore, which hit and blew up in a very spectacular way. And I then withdrew with a shore battery or two firing at me. Two days later, while still off Monemvasia, a small coaster left the harbour to proceed south, and I was able to chase her and overtake her, and I fired two torpedoes at her, both of which hit and sank her. One of the extraordinary things about sinking that ship was that three of her crew had also been the crew of the Carbo Pino, so I had scored a somewhat remarkable double in sinking them twice.
When was that?
That was February... No. March 1943.
45.
No, wrong. Well, that's right, March 44. Then, on my last patrol, which was my 10th, I left Malta on the 18th of April and entered the Aegean and patrolled off the north coast of Crete, when I received information that the Germans were going to run an important supply ship from the Piraeus to Heraklion. I was duly informed when she sailed, and she appeared, as expected, heavily escorted, by aircraft, three destroyers, a minesweeper, and several what the Germans called UJ boats. And at one time, during the attack, I had 12 aircraft in the field of view of the large periscope. I had a very good plot, and my estimated speed of 9 knots agreed with her doing 9 knots from Piraeus to Heraklion. And I made no attempt to get inside the screen because the sea was absolutely mirror calm and I had judged ASDIC conditions to be perfect, with the result that I fired from 5,000 yards. Now, I only fired two torpedoes because I made a mistake in swinging my line of fire towards, against his track. And in addition, after I'd fired two torpedoes, there was the most enormous splash on discharge of the torpedoes, which, because of the flat, calm sea, I judged would mean that the aircraft would see me immediately and attack me. In actual fact, by a stroke of good fortune, this enormous splash must have been unobserved. And both torpedoes, fired from 5,000 yards, hit the ship. A remarkable right and left. She sank in about 15 minutes. We now know. And senior officer of the escort, I discovered after the war from German records, recorded the attack must have been carried out by a daring and experienced British submarine commander who remained at periscope depth and fired in spite of aircraft bombs and depth charges. Little did he know that in actual fact I had only fired two torpedoes when, because of my mistake, I had meant to fire six. Later that patrol, I again attacked a convoy. Also heavily escorted by escort vessels and aircraft. But unfortunately, I was detected by the starboard wing escort and had to break off the attack, and in actual fact had considerable difficulty in shaking off the attacking escorts, which in the end I did successfully. That was the end of my operational time in Sportsman, and we returned home, and I remember that from Gibraltar to the Clyde, we went home in a large merchant ship convoy, with my being stationed on the Commodore's port beam. I haven't really got very many more recollections. Two things I can remember. One is that I always had a splitting headache after I had carried out an attack. And the other was the delight and pleasure that it was to go on the bridge after a day's dived and smell the fresh air and even the pine woods from the shore. I think really that is about all.
So the splitting headache came after the attack, not during?
No, immediately afterwards. I suppose it was, for lack of a better description, caused by nervous tension. But I can remember quite distinctly always having a splitting headache.
What about when you were under depth charge attack?
Well, that was, fortunately, except for that aircraft attack, I was never accurately attacked. I don't remember suffering any damage whatsoever from depth charge attacks, which of course always came after one had done an attack, and was one just had the confidence in oneself that you wouldn't be sunk. Naturally, luck played a very large part in that.
If that French chap who wanted to ask you about the General Bonaparte had encountered you, what would you have said to him?
I think I would have said anything to him. It would have been a question of my listening to him as to what he'd got to say. I mean, I had a perfectly cast-down case. He was in a sinker site area. He was escorted by aircraft. If it was doing a passenger run from Ajaccio to Marseilles, they should have had the sense to tell us and ask for safe passage, which they didn't.
I don't know if you saw that German film called Das Boot.
Yes.
On the television recently. Did you think that that depicted life in a wartime submarine in the Second World War accurately?
Broadly, yes. Of course, it was a German submarine and not a British submarine. And make no mistake about it. We did give the German U-boat arm the most frightful pounding, which we did not suffer, largely because they had not got, never really did, right up until the end of the war, have the anti-submarine countermeasures that were required.
But you felt it was otherwise an accurate film?
Yes, I thought it was a good and, to the best of my knowledge, you know, bearing in mind it was a German submarine, it was also an accurate film.
Was it hard to adapt to peacetime conditions once the war finished?
Oh, no. It was a great relief. I mean, make no mistake about it, I enjoyed the war. There one was doing all that, in my case, I had ever wanted to do since I was a small boy, namely the modern equivalent of laying your ship alongside the enemy and capturing it, which in my case was sinking it. And I got away with it.
Why do you think that you'd always wanted to do that from being a boy?
Well, I had. I'd always wanted to be a naval officer.
What do you think had been the influences on you in deciding you that?
Nothing influenced me at all. I never wanted to be anything else but a naval officer. I never wanted to be an engine driver or a fireman or policeman.
But had your family been in the Navy?
No.
You said that that commanding officer's course was called a perisher, was it?
Yes.
What was the origin of that?
It's what's the word? It had two proper names: the commanding officer's qualifying course and the periscope course. And perisher was a
nickname for a parrot. So perisher was always used to refer to the periscope.
No, not the periscope. No, the course. The commanding officer's qualifying course was always known in the vernacular as the perisher. I did my perisher in 1942. Is what one would say.
But perisher wasn't used as a nickname for a periscope?
No.
Do you know how the word perisher came to be a nickname for the course, though? What was its origin?
Wrapped in the mists of time, going back to the first submarine ever, I suppose.
Did you ever regret going into the submarine service?
No. Of course not.